My name is Andrew. I'm excited that you all are here with us at Neartown Church. As Russell was saying, see, there's times when we show up on a Sunday and you get to see the people who are around you. And, you know, outside of hello and how are you, there's not really this going deep in conversation like, so what's been your greatest struggle all week? That's usually not the third question that you ask after hello. So, but you don't know what people are bringing to the table. And as Russell insinuated, and we got a picture of Gabe. Our friend Gabe passed on this past Wednesday. And to say that it was rough is an understatement. He is a dear friend. And I'm going to miss my friend. I'm just going to miss my friend. And I thought, now I can get through it without crying. So that's already not proving true. Gabe fought pancreatic cancer for 4 years. I've only been employed here at Neartown a little over three. So as long as I have been a part of Neartown Church, Gabe has been fighting cancer. And when I got to see him last week, still in hospice, laying on the bed, the man was smiling. He was talking, and it wasn't just because of the medication of being on in hospice, but he was present, and he was interacting, and he was there. And it just struck me when I saw him last week, and it struck me again as Pastor Russell, two of his colleagues, talking to all of his friends and family. One of the words that came out about Gabe, he was joyful. The dude was joyful. Now, I have made this assessment. If you knew Gabe and you would agree with that, would you just raise your hand? Would you say, Gabe, I mean, look around the room. People who have interacted with the man, oh man. The man was full of joy. And as you saw, all those hands that came up, that's impact. Everybody was impacted by Gabe. They saw who he was and how he lived his life. Now, I started off by saying Gabe had pancreatic cancer for 4 years. So all of these people were not raising their hands to say 4 years ago, Gabe was a joyful guy, and then it was all downhill after that. In fact, his joyfulness was steady throughout his battle with cancer, and depending on the day or how you talk to him, it may have been even higher. The guy was filled with joy. And so, even if you didn't know Gabe, you're going to hear this assessment of Gabe and say, the man fought that for 4 years, and you're saying he's joyful? What about Gabe made him joyful in the midst of it? And as you look at Gabe, you're probably going to look inside yourself as well and say, what is it that is actually going to help me face my day today and have the result that I am going to be present in joy? What is that? What is the secret that Gabe had? What is the secret that I can embrace so that no matter what, circumstance proof, my life is marked by joy? Gabe said it, and those of us who are followers of Jesus, we are going to answer that question by saying, because God has given us his power, his Holy Spirit, and has given it to believers, and we have it today. Now, whether you are suspicious of that thought, or you're a Christian and you say, yeah, right, that sounds like a trite little phrase that you've just grabbed from a bumper sticker, and now you're wanting me to apply that to my life. Things are rough. Things are hard. Are you saying it's just because of the Holy Spirit? Well, yes, but we are going to go into 1 Corinthians chapter 2 today, and we're going to see what Paul brings out and why he points to the Holy Spirit as being so important and what the Spirit actually gives us. So, will you pray with me? Lord, this is going to be a wonderful journey to look at you. Spirit, I ask that you are present in this room. Let the statements that I make about you and how you work be true. Let them be accurate. And Spirit, move far ahead of me. Move in hearts. Stir them. Bring yourself glory. You are so good. Thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. So open your Bibles, if you have them with you or on your phone, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Every Sunday, we are going to go to the Bible, not because we can't think of anything else to do, so we'll just go to this. Why not? Our church is founded on the truths that we find in Scripture. This written word reveals the living word, Jesus Christ, and we're going to come back to this because it's not changing. Russell and I, we change the lengths of our beards, our haircuts. We don't change our heights, although I do have boots on today, so I'm a little taller. But this isn't going to change. This isn't going to change. And we're going to go back to the thing that we know we can rely on and say, okay, Lord, what have you written? What do we need to see about you? And how do we need to live our lives? So we're going to go to here. So 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We are going to reveal, we are going to uncover four different truths about the Holy Spirit today from this. So the first one that we're going to have or we're going to see is the Holy Spirit opens our hearts to the saving work of Jesus Christ. Okay, join me, chapter 2, verse 1. And I, Paul, when I came to you, brothers, did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom, for I decided to know nothing. I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Right at the beginning, Paul opens up and he says, okay, so it seems that everybody in the Corinthian church in that era, in that time, they really, really praised the person that came up with the best speech. They spoke with incredible eloquence, and they did so in an inviting way. Okay? And so their goal was to have the showiest and the most perfectly well-reasoned argument put forth, and that's what they liked. And so we are reading 1 Corinthians. This letter is in response to issues that they had, and probably a letter that they wrote to Paul. And so Paul says to them, you all are concerned about the wrong thing. Everybody's concerned about the style of the speech and the eloquence of the teacher. It's about the form. It's about the content. Have you really wowed me? Paul said, look, I showed up to you without lofty speech or this worldly wisdom. I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I wanted to make sure that what you heard was what I said was the most important thing. Don't miss it. It's Jesus Christ and him crucified. It is Jesus Christ and him crucified. Do not get lost in how I talk. Do not get lost in the way I present myself, because all of that is distraction from the most important thing. It's Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's it. Jesus was God who came down to earth. He suffered in our place. He took God's wrath for us, for our sin. And he died a sinner's death, though he was innocent. 3 days after he died, he rose from the grave. And so Paul says, this fact, this historical fact, is worth everything. It is worth everything, and I want everybody to know it. This is the most important thing. It is Jesus. So don't get lost in my really clever or funny analogies. Do not judge me by how well I presented something. That's not what matters. It is the essence of Jesus Christ and him crucified. Can I get an amen? Okay. I see eyes, so everyone's awake. So we're already starting well, but it's nice to know you're still here. Verse 3, and I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling, and my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom. Another translation, instead of saying plausible words of wisdom, it says persuasive words. Persuasive words. I did not show up among you to try to persuade you, to try to have this like crazy, crazy speech that I know that on this part, everyone's going to laugh. At this part, everyone's going to say amen. At this part, everyone's going to join in. I'm not here to persuade you. And frankly, I don't want to persuade you because I don't want anybody to say, what's another way to say persuaded that has a little bad connotation? Manipulated. I don't want you to come and say, Paul manipulated me. He didn't. He goes on. But, let me read that sentence full again, starting in verse 3. And I was with you in weakness and fear and much trembling. My speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Paul is writing to his friends, and he points actually back at them. He says, in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. He's saying, actually, guys, gals, it's you. You are the proof of my message. The fact that you have come to have a relationship with Jesus Christ is proof that this wasn't about me. It wasn't about my words. It was about Jesus Christ and the fact that you are now brothers and sisters in Christ, and the fact that the Spirit moved in you is a demonstration of the power of God. The Holy Spirit opens our hearts up to the truth about Jesus Christ. The Spirit goes ahead of us. He moves in hearts. And so Paul is there saying, I'm not here to prove to you again how well I can articulate something. What I'm going to say is that that is the Holy Spirit moving ahead of me, changing your hearts, so that when you look inside and you look at your faith, you know that it is not because of Paul. You know that it is not because Russell just nailed you that 1 week and you felt a stirring in your heart. Man, that Russell, he got me. He did, but the Holy Spirit used him and moved ahead of him and is moving inside of all of our hearts. This is what the Holy Spirit does. He opens up our hearts to know the truth about Jesus Christ. Going on, the second thing that we learn about the Holy Spirit reveals to us the secret wisdom of God. The secret wisdom of God. Pick up in verse 6. Yet among the mature, we do impart wisdom. Now, let me take a side note here. He's using, throughout this passage, I think he's using words that they probably wrote to him. And I say, I have to say, I think, and I'm not sure, because we don't have their letter. But there's different words he's peppering in that's like, oh, you haven't introduced that thought or that word. I think their big deal was, Paul, you helped us get into the faith, but we're going to move on from your teaching for something that's going to help us get more mature. You know, we're done with what you brought. You just gave us the small stuff. Now we're going to move on to something bigger and better and more wise. And Paul is saying, yet among the mature, we do impart wisdom. Maturity, he was saying, is those who are in Christ and who have been exposed to the wisdom of God. Those are the people who are mature. Just, if you are in Christ, you are mature. Yes, you can grow in your maturity in Christ when you're there. But Paul is saying, if you are in Christ, that makes you mature. So don't look for any other marks of maturity. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. If you are in him, you are mature. So that's who he's addressing here, brothers and sisters in Christ. Yet among the mature, we do impart wisdom, although it's not a wisdom of this age or the rulers of this age who are doomed to pass away. But we impart a secret and a hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. God is moving, as he has done throughout history, to impart something that he has hidden, he held back, about the fullness of his riches and his glory until the time of Jesus. Now that Jesus has come, that secret hidden wisdom is now it's bared out. It is seen. It is unfolded. It is there for all to see. The word I was looking for is exposed. Way easier to say that. It is exposed for all to see. Everyone can see that Christ is the promise of God fulfilled. But why? Note at the end of verse 7, it sneaks up on you. Which God decreed before the ages for our glory. For our glory. Jesus was sent by God for our glory in him. That's crazy talk. That God had us in mind and was going to move and work for our glory, for us to be honored. I don't know about you, but I know myself. And I'm not all that deserving of very much glory. And yet God has gone ahead of us and before us and in spite of us and has worked through Jesus for our glory from the beginning of time. He's organized things. Verse 8, none of the rulers of this age understood this. For if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him, these things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. The Spirit moves ahead, and he delivers the good news of Jesus Christ to all. He knows what's on God's mind because he is God. And he delivers that then, this crazy, secret, hidden plan. The Spirit moves forward and opens it up for all of us to see. So the Spirit not only opens our hearts to the good, saving news of Jesus Christ, but then he allows us to see our part in it, that we are a part of God's story, that we have a part in the story of God. He loves us. And he has sent the Spirit to affirm us and say, I love you. And I've had you as a part of my plan from the very beginning. I had a friend right when I got hired at a church in Tempe. He used this analogy, and he and I kind of workshopped it to the next level. He says, imagine you're dropped in a brand new town, say somewhere in Thailand, someplace you probably haven't been countless times. So you're dropped into Thailand, and they say, we want you to enjoy Thailand. Here's Thailand. Good luck. Now, some of us, we like exploring, we like going out on our own, we like kind of trying to feel out a new place, and that's fun for a little while. But at some point, we kind of hope we get either familiar with things, and we get used to the culture, and at some point, there you hope to meet somebody that's going to be helpful. And my friend said, wouldn't it be great if you got to a place, and you'd never been there before, wouldn't it be great if somebody gave you a map, and just said, here's where you can go. Here's a map. And now you have the lay of the land. And I looked at him and I was like, that's great to get a map. Wouldn't it be better to have, I don't know, the mayor of the town come alongside you and say, I want to show you my town. I want to show you my favorite spots to eat. That would be appealing to me. I want to show you some of the most fun things that our town has to offer. I want you to go to this and really live it up. The Holy Spirit is that guide. The Holy Spirit is given by God to us to say, I know that you don't know all things that are going on. I know that life is hard, but I am going to give you myself. I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit, and he is going to open the doors to how things go, how things work, and how you can embrace the best things. So what is our third thing that we learn about the Holy Spirit from this passage? The Spirit helps us understand the wisdom of God. Verse 11. For who knows a person's thought except the spirit of that person which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. And we impart this. And we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him. And he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. God gives us his Spirit so that we can understand him. Sometimes, like when Russell or Lauren or Matt or Ryan or somebody is going to get up here and they're going to get on the mic, they're going to either read out of Scripture or they're going to talk about the truths of God, and they say really great things. My Redeemer lives. And we all say, that sounds good. I like that. And then we move on and we sing the next part of the verse and we don't really sit, we don't resonate on that. And there are times that we go and we say these things and they sound real nice. But do we know what they mean? Not just like it's just a quiz, like, do you know what that means? But no, like, do you know what it means down in your heart? Have you reflected on that? Have we stopped to reflect on these things? God has given us the Holy Spirit, not as a quiz to say, do you know enough about me? But God has said, no, I want you to know me. I want you to understand me. And I have given you the Holy Spirit so that you can tap in to the deeper depths and know who I am so you can understand me. Again, Paul is talking about this wisdom. Russell finished the end of chapter 1 last week. And Paul made this argument that Jesus was the wisdom of God and Jesus was the power of God. That God had put forth Jesus as the completion of his plan. Well, Paul goes on to say the Holy Spirit is going ahead of any of argument or conversation. He is moving in hearts and he is pointing back to the biggest, most important thing, that it is Jesus and the work that he did. That is God's wisdom. That was God's plan the whole time. It's Jesus. And so he is going to work in such a way so that we can understand more of him. The Holy Spirit has been given to us as believers, not just to know Jesus in a saving way, not just to know the secret wisdom of God, this plan about Jesus, but to actually understand the wisdom of God. To understand how God thinks and how he feels and how he acts. That's why we have been given the Holy Spirit. Now, it says in the end of 13... it says that we have been, impart this in words, not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. What are some of these truths? What can some of these truths be? So the big capture we're going to take, what does the Holy Spirit do? Last thing, the Holy Spirit reveals to us the implications of God's wisdom. Okay? The implications. Knowing God is awesome. Understanding God is better. Understanding what to do with that wisdom that you now have is best. Okay? And so he goes on to say, what might one of those implications be? So join me in verse 15. The spiritual person judges all things, but is himself to be judged by no one. Quote, for who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? End quote, but we have the mind of Christ. Now, this is you can read over this real quick, and it sounds great, but I think Paul, it just strikes me as funny. Because what he does, he just asserted that all Christians maybe even with a little bit of an attitude, said, "You can't judge me. You can't judge me." But not with sass, only to say, we've not just been judged, but we've been set free by Jesus. And so, if you don't like the wisdom that I am conveying to you about Jesus, if you don't like the way that I am saying that Jesus wants better for your life, that's okay. You don't have to like me. But I am going to stand on this because I have been given the mind of Christ. Remember, we just talked about understanding the wisdom of God. We have been given the Holy Spirit. We can understand the wisdom of God. That is the mind of Christ. We have been given it. And so, when we talk to our coworkers, our friends, our families, and we say, you know, big, bold statements, Jesus is the only way. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by him. And we get that look of, you went there. Why'd you go there? And you almost feel bad. People try to make you feel bad for talking to them about Jesus. And you don't have to be like, I'm sorry, I broke that barrier. We can be cool again, right? We can be cool. I couldn't say that. No. You don't have to apologize. You can actually feel encouraged. You can feel strengthened because what you are speaking on about Jesus is the most important thing. That he is the way, the truth, and the life. And that you are hoping that your friends, your families, your loved ones are going to know the hope that you have because you have been given the mind of Christ. See, Paul is referring to a statement about identity. A statement about identity. We are all working, trying to figure out who we are. Why am I like this? What does it really mean to be me? And Jesus comes and he gives us things freely. He gives us things freely. Jump back to verse 12 at the very end. Why does God work in this way? That we might understand the things freely given us by God. God has raised us up in him. He has given us new identities. One of the things we talk about in our loop groups, we have been made family. We are sons and daughters of the King. That's a gift. That's not something you earn. It's a gift. We are disciples. We learn, we reflect Jesus, we try to be like him. We are servants, we love and honor others because we have been given this wonderful identity to reflect how Jesus lived. And we are missionaries, we are sent ones, we are sent to go and tell people about the hope that we have. We are given these free things. So now what do we do with them? Jesus gives us salvation freely. If Jesus gives us salvation freely, he has given us eternal life, both now and in the life to come. If he has given us eternal life, then we have secured right standing before God. If we have secured right standing before God, then my actions aren't about earning favor or doing more so that God will like me. That's all taken care of. So now the life that I live towards others can be one not based on fear, but based on joy. I don't have to live my day to day wondering, is God going to like me? Is he going to be happy? We know and have confidence that God has taken care of that. We can then respond to all things in joy. So what is joy? If we follow this logic, joy is a state of being built on the confidence in the person and work of Jesus Christ. Joy is a state of being built on the confidence in the person and work of Jesus Christ. So how did Gabe Jones live with joy? How can any of us face the life that is in front of us? It's solely through the person and work of Jesus Christ, the Spirit, the power of God works in us. He opens our heart to the truth about who Jesus is. He reveals to us the secret wisdom of God, that this plan that has been in place since the beginning of time, he helps us understand how he thinks, why he thinks, how he feels, who he is. And as we understand the mind of God, the wisdom of God, then the Spirit gives us the encouragement to actually live in light of that wisdom. In this passage, Paul gives us this certainty to understand that we don't have to keep trying to chase wisdom. We don't have to keep trying to chase approval from others. That we stand in a confident, secure place to not cripple or crumble under other people's judgment, but to stand tall because we know who we are in him. Gabe did not cripple or crumble in light of the cancer and the circumstances that surrounded him. Instead, he approached it with joy because he had confidence in the person and work of Jesus Christ and was empowered by the Holy Spirit. Right at the beginning of our passage, verse 1, Paul says that he came not proclaiming this testimony of God. I like that he came and he said, I am here to give a testimony of God. This is not a well-reasoned argument. This is not a three-point plan. It is, in fact, this is what I've seen. And I just want to bear witness about it. And as Russell mentioned, I got to sit with Gabe last week. And when Gabe and I were talking, he said, you know, Andrew, I mean, we went everywhere. We talked about everything. And I said, so how are you feeling about things? He said, well, in a few days, maybe this weekend, maybe next weekend, I'll see the face of Jesus. That's been the goal. It's always been the goal, right? I get to see the face of Jesus. And I'm going to be happy. Gabe made that statement in hospice at the end of life, and he spoke it with joy because he knew, because he had the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit spoke to him the words and the wisdom of God, that he was secure and that he was going to see his friend, Jesus Christ, face to face in a few days. If you're not a Christian, I want you to know that as you sit and listen, this gift is available to you right now. That Jesus is here, that he is offering you this free gift of salvation, and he wants you to understand that you can come for forgiveness of your sins and have confidence today about your day today, about your day tomorrow, and the many tomorrows to come. Jesus offers that to you. And the things that we've talked about that the Holy Spirit does, those are possible in your life actively through Jesus Christ. Now, brothers and sisters in Christ who are in the room, some of you may also be listening and saying, I'm really glad Gabe was able to take on cancer like that, but it takes a real special person. Gabe was that special person, so clearly he can do that. I can't get along with my family, let alone take on cancer. So that just, Gabe was special. He had this special thing about him. I want to encourage you, if you are a Christian and you have the Holy Spirit, you are able to be circumstance-proof in life. And I say you, I mean me. I desperately want to be circumstance-proof in life. I want to be able to be joyful when things come along that are annoying, that are painful, that are hard, and to be able to approach those with a peace that surpasses all understanding. I want it to. Some days I'll tell you I have it, other days I don't. But I want to encourage you. We have a promise from God that he has given us his Holy Spirit. The Spirit is active in us, and this is something that we have access to. It's not that we have to try harder. It's not that we have to do more. He has given us that. And we get to stand on him. And we get to live in that. Would y'all bow your heads with me? Lord, I thank you so much that you have gone long before us in bringing this plan of salvation about through Jesus Christ. Lord, I thank you that you didn't just work your plan of Jesus and then leave us to our own devices to figure it out, to learn about it, and to work hard. Instead, Lord, you sent your spirit. You sent your Holy Spirit ahead of the work of Jesus Christ to move in our hearts and let us know that we are alive in you. Lord, thank you that you have given us your spirit, that we can understand you. Thank you, Lord, that we don't have to work for this, but that in your grace, that we can have hope in the day to day, that we can have joy, and that we can stand and know we get to have confidence and who you are and what you have done. Lord, for everybody in this room, you have been working on our hearts. For some, you've been challenging us, and you've said, I'm here for you. What's holding you back from leaning into me? What's holding you back from living into that joy that I offer? Lord, I trust that you brought things to mind. In this moment, I ask that we take these things and we give them to you. We say, please take them and let me live fully alive. Others of us, Lord, who don't know you yet, we're still contemplating, what does this have to do with me? Lord, align those thoughts. Spirit, please move in those hearts. Let this be the day we cross over that line of faith from this is interesting stuff to this is what I need in my life for security, for confidence, for hope, for peace, for joy. Lord, move ahead, long ahead of me. Bring glory to your name. In your name we pray. Amen.